If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Cole.
And you're listening to Borrowed Words.
Oh, we're doing one of these today.
Yes. Surprise, I didn't really tell you. I mean, I told you on the way here, but you did not know. We were originally going to do an episode of The Walgreens today.
Oh. Is the family name Walgreens or is it Walgreen?
It's Walgreen.
Okay.
So they're the Walgreen family but the store, the pharmacy
is
Walgreens.
With the possessive apostrophe and that's why. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that will be for the next episode.
Future episode.
Yes.
Future installment.
It got more in depth than I imagined. Mm. So that seems to be how it goes. So I need another week of research on that. Keep an eye out for
Walgreens.
Not next week, but the following, because we release every other Wednesday now.
Yes.
That's the plan. But yes, we are doing a Borrowed Words today, and these are episodes where we dig into the etymology of words and phrases.
Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what the theme is this week, if there's a uniting subject matter in these words you've selected.
Yes. The theme is counterculture, like hippie slang.
Okay.
Far out, you know.
Okay. Dazed and confused kind of.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I just wanted to see where all that came from.
All right.
But before we get into it, I want to do a little shout out to everyone that is new listening to us. I did see quite a spike in the listens the last few weeks. And I think it may have to do with the YouTube channel that shouted us out. They're called Crooked Timber. They gave us a shout out not too long ago in their episode, and I know for a fact that one person did discover us through them, Emma, and they commented on a Spotify episode saying that they found us from Crooked Timber.
Nice.
So if anyone else is listening from them, comment and let me know. I thought that was really neat to see that. Thank you, Crooked Timber, for the shout out, and thank you, Emma, for commenting and listening.
Nice.
I hope you enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah. I will add a link in the show notes for Crooked Timber if you guys want to find them. They're like a cool YouTube channel where it's a husband-wife duo in New York, and they talk about like YouTube family influencers and TikTok family influencers and how those are usually issues. That's what got me into them. No, but it's like current family dynamics like in the internet world, and they break it down and critique.
Okay.
We'll say that. They critique.
Gotcha. Understood.
Yes. But yeah, so thank you to all the new listeners. Thank you to the old listeners. I know Joey still listens, which is great. I love his text messages to you all the time with comments and saying little quotes and phrases.
Usually
that he
how
liked.
I know a new episode has dropped because he texts me usually within an hour of some quote from it or something.
Yeah, that's always nice. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. And anyone new, drop a comment and let us know where you're listening from.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, we're talking about words from the counterculture. Also, I realized that this counterculture slang all pretty much comes from another type of counterculture that was before them.
Okay.
So let's get into it.
All right.
You guys. I have been using Love Indus facial products for a bit now, and I am obsessed with their Freedom of Expression Line Limiter. It's basically liquid Botox. I put a small amount on my forehead creases, under my eyes, and my laugh lines, and instantly my lines are looking smoother. The Freedom of Expression Line Limiter has collagen in it, which definitely helps plump out the lines, and I love it. I can really tell instantly as soon as I put it on. I also have paired the Freedom of Expression Line Limiter with Love Indus's Amrutini True Brew Serum, and that firms my skin. I can actually feel it right after I put it on that it feels tight and it looks tight. Amrutini True Brew Serum has quality ingredients to help the skin firm up and glow. Pairing these two products together has been like finding the holy grail. I'm closing in on 40. Makeup isn't really sitting the same way on my face anymore. And I'm just very happy to have found Love Indus. They are making my transition into my 40s much smoother. See how funny I am? Go to loveindus.com to receive 21% off your purchase with promo code BONES. That's LOVEINDUS.com, promo code BONES.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.
We are starting with the word hippie.
Okay.
Or hipster.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we all know what a hippie is, the stereotypical 1960s, 1970s.
67, San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury. Yeah.
Yeah. Star signs and
peace moon glow
signs. And yeah.
Yeah. I'm Star Child. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Rachel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Usually when you think of it, you think of middle class or upper middle class, young 20-somethings that are protesting the war. They're doing sit-ins. Yeah. Yeah.
Discovering themselves and then realizing in 20 years they'd give us Reagan.
Yes.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyway. So I saw that hip is from a West African language, I think in Senegal. Wolof.
W-O-L-O-F. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And hip means to open one's eyes. Mm-hmm. And in the 1930s and 40s, it meant like fashionable, up to date, like you're hip. You're hip with it.
Yeah, you're chic. You're cutting edge.
And then the term hipster was coined by Harry Gibson in 1940.
Okay.
And he used it to describe jazz performers.
Mm-hmm. It all comes back to jazz.
They all do. That's the underlying theme here is all of these come back to jazz. So these hipsters, these hippies, I'm sorry, Dad, I know you were a hippie, but it all came from somewhere. But that's how slang works. That's how it all ebbs and flows, is it starts somewhere and it takes a life of its own. So this was interesting for me to discover that the hippie counterculture took a lot from jazz.
It's also, and you might get into this, so I might be just anticipating where you're going, but the word hepcat, it's not used much anymore, but that was a cool, jazzy, hipster kind of guy. Hepcat also comes from the Wolof word.
Hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get too far into that. That's more jazz. So I tried to stay on theme with like the hippie love dove stuff. But I did see that in my research.
Hippie, hipster, hepcat. They all have the same root. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Harry Gibson was an American jazz pianist, singer, songwriter. And he was called Harry the Hipster Gibson. Mm. And he was known for writing unusual songs that were ahead of their time.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a unique, wild singing style. So he was something different, which kind of leads into hippies being different. Hip was also applied to the beatnik group, like in Greenwich Village, New York.
Yeah.
Jack Kerouac, that kind of
phrase. Before the hippies.
Yes.
The 50s version.
Yeah, the hip cats. Yeah.
The jazz clubs, the poetry readings and smoky, wearing berets and turtlenecks and
Yep. And then it did just eventually evolve into the 1960s counterculture and then to the hippies that we all think of today. Yeah. So it all started in the jazz world.
Interestingly, Jack Kerouac, he hated the hippies. He just didn't like that the legacy of the beatniks was the hippies. And I guess classic, just one generation hating the next. But he died really resentful of the hippies.
Beatniks were a little more enclosed, not enclosed, but like, Not even closed off, just like, this is our culture. We're going to create safe spaces for ourselves. Yeah. They weren't really disrupting the daily life.
Yeah.
But they were like, let us live our life.
Yeah,
if you come into our world, we'll fight back, but we're not going to push anything. And then the hippies were like, we will push it because you're coming into our life with Vietnam in a very strong way. So there's a difference there.
Yep.
But anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a little more lighthearted, but I didn't expect the hippie culture to have this kind of background, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next up.
Next word.
We have far out.
Far out.
Like, do you know what this means in the slang world?
Cool, weird, surprising, incredible. Oh, far out.
Yeah, that's far out. Like, outside the norm. Yeah. It's out of this world. Something, like, extraordinary. So it's a little awe, shock, and wonder. Oh, that's far out.
Yeah. Typically used by stoners in the, well, the cliche, the stereotype. Is stoned people.
Oh, psychedelics.
Yeah, LSD. And
those were really big in the 1960s, the psychedelics. So you felt far out. You felt out of this world. You felt
Did it derive from Timothy Leary in some way?
I don't know why. No?
Okay. Just because he was a big LSD proponent.
And, from back in like the 1950s, jazz culture.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
When the soloists would go really far out off the chart of their...
Yes. So jazz, they'd get really into it. They'd get into the groove and they would play these unconventional jazz performances. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's gone to a jazz performance, sometimes it's too much for me. It's too avant-garde. It's hard to kind of follow. And it's neat to see someone get into it, but they're far out. They're... Yeah. Unconventional.
Yeah.
And then it just quickly gained traction with the masses, especially in the 60s with the psychedelics and how people felt.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it with that one.
Okay.
But I like to, again, another jazz reference.
I should have known that because I took a jazz history class in college. And when you said that it triggered that, I do remember hearing that being taught that back 20 something years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah. The next one is groovy.
Groovy.
Slang for
cool,
excellent, cool, neat, like the concert was groovy.
Yeah,
there's quite a few ways to use the word, you know, like you're in a groove that's groovy.
Yeah,
this also originally came from
jazz, hitting a groove in the rhythm, in the playing,
meaning to groove to music, or you're in the groove when playing music, performing well. That's specifically what it was referring to in the jazz culture. And the reason they say groovy has to do with the grooves.
Of records?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're in the groove.
The needle is in the,
I saw a quote that said, it was described as like, the musicians are so together, it's like they're the needle guided by the groove.
Okay.
So you're in the groove.
Tight,
Okay. And I thought, that's okay. And then eventually these jazz musicians would be, you would say like, oh, they're grooving, like they're so into it, ing, they're grooving.
Yeah.
Which then evolved into groovy.
Yeah, as an adjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that I did see that back in like before the 1930s, like in the 1800s, late 1800s, groove meant mining shaft.
Okay.
And there was a phrase that was in a groove. And it was akin to like stuck in a rut, like, oh, I'm in a groove.
Okay.
So it wasn't until like the 1930s when jazz became a thing. And then what was it before record players, like gramophones or things? Well, like things like that.
Early personal recording or home playing devices.
Those also still had grooves in them, or they created grooves somehow after they were played. But those also had grooves. So even in the 1930s. Just basically whenever jazz took over, that's when in a groove or being groovy became positive.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like stuck in a rut before that.
Yeah.
Which that's interesting. Yeah. So yeah, groovy.
Cool.
Next up.
Mm-hmm.
Dig it or you dig.
Okay.
What do you know what that means in slang?
So yeah. If you say to someone, you dig, do you understand? Do you get it?
Yes.
And dig it is...
Yeah, I do.
I do, and yeah, cool. You're
we're down. I dig it. Yeah.
You're in agreement with it. Dig it. Yeah.
This also started in the jazz community.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's a pretty short and simple one, similar to like far out.
Yeah.
You dig it, do you understand? I saw a reference in 1827 in the Harvard Register. There was a quote or a story written about a student, but this is the quote from it. The sunken eye and sallow countenance bespoke the man who dug 16 hours per diem. So he was studying hard. He was digging for knowledge. He dug for 16 hours. So that's where it comes from. You're digging for knowledge.
Okay. Interesting. That was 1827?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then eventually got picked up by the jazz world.
Okay.
And then it just got picked up by popular culture because that's a pretty simple, straightforward one to have. But jazz was the first one to use it.
Mm.
They just made everything cool, basically. Mm-hmm. And then the hippies were like, oh, we like that. Thank you. Yeah.
Then the white people appropriated it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. As I was doing this, you can see how I realized everything is coming back to jazz.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking, the word jive came up a lot.
Okay.
And so I went on a side path. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. We'll do jazz as well today because hippie slang is jazz slang.
Yeah.
So let's just get into it. So jive, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it has a couple meanings.
Okay.
Now, I didn't really understand how to use it. I've never used it as slang. I don't really know. I can only think of like the Jeffersons it said, like in sitcom back in the day in like older sitcoms I've seen it used, but I never understood how to use it because it was used in multiple ways.
And then in Airplane. there's a gag in the movie Airplane.
Yeah, what is it?
There's the two black passengers who are, quote unquote, speaking in jive, and the old white lady is like, "Excuse me, stewardess, I speak jive," and
and that's confusing because you have speaking in jive or jive like that, or you're acting a certain way, like
jiving.
Yeah, quit jiving around.
Yeah,
quit messing around.
Mm-hmm.
Or to jive is to dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
to bop. Yeah, and it's also just like a street dialect. That's what the Airplane joke is playing off of.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are different enough for me to not really understand how to use it. So I've just never used it, but also Merriam-Webster Dictionary did have all of these definitions. Mm-hmm. So the first one for jive is to say foolish, deceptive, or unserious things to someone.
Okay.
So the Airplane reference.
Yeah.
He's jiving you. I'm tired of listening to your jive.
Yeah, he's fooling with you. He's messing with you.
So just
joshing you around.
Yeah, but jiving.
Yeah.
Or it can mean to dance or to play. So you're playing around, you're dancing to jive around, quit jiving around, or that person's really jiving.
Mm-hmm.
I did also see that jive is considered a style of fast, lively jazz and dance music.
Okay.
So like, I don't know how you would use that in a sentence, but it's referring to music as well. There's a lot of different ways to use this, and this also does come from the language Wolof.
Okay.
And it means to talk about someone that's absent, especially in like a negative manner. You're just talking shit about them. You're jiving about them.
Okay. Yeah, I have a book. It's an encyclopedia of terms used in jazz and blues music, and it's really cool. It goes into like the etymology with like the Wolof and the Bantu tribes in Africa, and how like a lot of the terms all kind of
it all comes down to it. Yeah, and then in the 1940s, it started to evolve a little bit to mean agree,
mm-hmm.
like you're agreeable. The idea here is that it was mistaken for the word jibe, G-I-B-E, which I admit. I didn't know that word existed.
Yeah. A lot of people say to jive with when they mean to jibe with.
Yes.
That doesn't jibe with that is the correct. People say that doesn't jive with that.
Yeah.
You mean jibe to connect. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
So jibe, G-I-B-E, is the original word that I was using jive for mistakenly. Like, you jive with that. And that's why I didn't use that phrase a lot either. Because every time I said it, I was like, I think I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what the real one was. So I just, again, just stopped using the word jive altogether. Yeah. I just took it out of my vocabulary. So I needed to figure out what this meant when I saw it coming up all the time. It is socially acceptable now to say you jive with it, with a V, because everyone has said it so much. So don't feel stupid if you're like me.
It's been used incorrectly so long that it's just becoming, the language, the linguists are throwing up their hands and saying, fuck it. Just use it. We can't correct you anymore.
And then we have the hand jive, like in the 50s, that became popular. And if you think of like Greece, gone with the hand jive, baby, and do like a whole little like clap thing, whatever.
Okay.
I'm dancing. I'm doing it in front of Cole right now. And he's staring at me like I'm an idiot
because
he's never seen Greece.
No. I've never seen Greece. When you said it right now, I thought of the country Greece for a few seconds.
Oh,
and I was like, what are you talking about? They don't dance like that in Greece, I don't think.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, the musical, Travolta.
You got to grow up. You got to watch this movie. Come on, get on everyone else's level. You're 41.
Yeah.
Get with it. So you don't know what the hand jive is. I only have Greece as my reference for that. So there's that.
They do that in Athens?
Yeah, in Athens, they're just jiving like that, hand jiving. Oh my God, I wish you knew, because I'm
in 300.
I'm imagining John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John doing it.
Yeah.
In Greece, though. Yeah. Like, it's so funny. You don't have this visual. You poor
I don't.
Thing.
I have no frame of reference. I mean, I know the movie exists. I can picture the cover art of the two of them. And
anyway. Yeah. So, the hand jive. And then in the 1960s, it began to mean, like, not acting right. Like, his jive ass.
Yeah.
Like this jive ass motherfucker or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen it used in negative ways like that. And then I took another step further after seeing this word. And I was like, okay, I'm satisfied. I think I understand jive now. I wanted to figure out why people say jive turkey.
Yeah.
What?
I was thinking that too.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. I knew
turkey.
It.
Jive ass turkey.
Yeah. So I saw that and I was like, all right, well, what is a jive turkey? Like, why a turkey? I've never heard someone just be called a turkey.
Yeah.
Only in bowling have I heard it be used. And that's like a good thing to get a turkey in bowling. It's three strikes in a row. So what it means when you call someone a jive turkey, it's to describe someone who is like insincere, dishonest, fake, a fool.
Okay.
Yeah. It was commonly used in the black community, but then got mainstream.
Mm-hmm. I remember in high school seeing a shirt at Kohl's store, a t-shirt.
Oh, that I thought you meant like, I thought you were speaking third person.
No. If I start doing that,
I'm leaving you.
You can just execute me.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so at Kohl's, the store,
there was it's a novelty t-shirt that, you know, you jive turkey on it.
Yeah.
It was a cartoon turkey.
Well, it was, used a lot by Richard Pryor in his stand-up routine.
Okay.
So that's why, because I was like, why is this sticking out in my head so much? And I think that's why.
Okay.
And so it was like a popular thing back
Richard
in the day.
Richard Pryor brought it to the mainstream audience.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was also popular in Sanford and Son, which was a show in the 70s.
Yes.
So, And so I guess the only thing I found was, like, back then, apparently calling someone a turkey was already a known insult.
Okay.
In like in the 70s or 60s. Mm-hmm. And so to call someone just a turkey, it meant that they were dull or worthless, like a turkey gobbling is just noisy nonsense.
Oh, okay.
And
I like that.
The way that it was described was I thought of in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? This conversation serves no purpose.
Oh, Gus, he says that.
Yes.
This conversation serves no purpose.
Yeah. So Gus is like a villain in the show and he doesn't have
time
for
shit. Spoiler
alert
for a 20-year-old show.
Whatever. Yeah. And he's in the middle of like not even negotiations. He kind of is, but he's like, it's like pointless because he's the powerful guy.
Yeah, and
he doesn't need anyone else. So someone's trying to like barter with him or beg.
On the phone, trying to get
and he just goes, this conversation serves no purpose and
just
hangs up. So I think that calling someone a turkey, you're very dismissive. You're like, you serve no purpose. You don't, it doesn't matter. Like what you say doesn't matter. So jive turkey, you're speaking foolishness, jiving.
Yeah.
And you're also just an idiot. Like, you're a jive turkey. Get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring that back. Let's bring it back. I like it. Stop. Why are you doing that?
I was just staring at her weirdly, I guess.
No, you were clicking in the microphone with your tongue. I can hear it. Stop.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, stop.
Next word.
I have two more things to say.
Oh, still about jive.
No, next words.
Oh, two more words.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So next word.
Next slide, please.
Yes. I wanted to look up the phrase, peace out.
Peace out. Okay.
Like peace out.
I'm leaving.
So, not a town down. Not peace up, a town down. Peace out. You don't know what I'm referencing?
No.
Oh, God damn it. I'm 0 for 2. Well, 1 for 3, because I did the Breaking Bad reference.
Yeah.
So peace out,
peace out, as I understand it, is just a way of saying goodbye.
Yes, but
leaving
hold
a situation.
On. Peace up, a town down, like Atlanta, down.
Okay.
It's like from the early aughts, Usher. Usher. Peace up, a town down.
Oh, okay.
I
know who Usher is.
Yeah, it's a song.
Okay,
hold on, I have to
I'm
find
sure
it.
If I heard it,
I'm going to find it now. I was going to play a piece of that song for you guys on this episode here, but when I played it for Cole after I hit pause, he said not to buy in on the episode because he's nervous about copyright stuff, and I don't give a shit because I feel like we're too small to matter, and I don't know. I like baiting a little bit, but we're not going to play it. Okay.
I do recognize the song, though.
Yes, he did know it. Once I played it,
in
the
like
very
one
beginning,
second, the first note, I'm like, oh, yeah, that.
A Town Down. And I'm like, that's
I knew
Usher.
The music of it, but not yes. so much the, yeah, the lyrics didn't do anything. But when I heard the first note of music, I'm like, oh, yeah, this song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am allowing myself to not play that piece, even though I really want to, simply because you don't want it played. I want to do it more. But that's fine. Okay, we got to move on. Okay. Because we're talking about peace.
Yeah.
I'm trying to maintain the peace. So here we go.
All right. What order are we on?
Peace out.
Peace out. Okay. Yeah.
We paused for like seven minutes to talk
to
about
you at home. It's
going to
sound instantaneous.
Yeah. Okay. But he won that one. It's fine. I'll rein it in.
Peace out. Goodbye. Ciao.
Yes.
See you later. Till next time. I'm leaving the situation.
Yes.
Yes.
And hippies started using it as a way to be like, peace out. You know, basically, I wish peace on everything, no war. And like, it's like a nice way to leave, you know, like, I want to make sure that you're peaceful. Everything's nice. It's
their way, their virtue signaling. You
know, yeah.
You gotta have peace everywhere.
Yeah. Peace everywhere. Yeah. Peace out. Hey, man. Yeah. Virtue signaling. Yes.
You can just say bye.
Yeah.
No, peace everywhere, man.
I couldn't really find too much more about Peace Out. It does seem like the hippies were the ones that went and started that. I'm not sure if that specifically came from the jazz culture or not.
Yeah.
Looks like, according to what I wrote here on my notes, I think I got distracted because then I saw the peace sign.
Okay.
So I just went straight into the peace sign after I saw Peace Out just meant goodbye.
Yeah.
So the peace sign... Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about Peace Out, let me know and I'll add it in later or something. Okay. But yeah, I don't know. Peace Out is goodbye. And then the peace sign.
The circle with the upside down cross and the limbs
ooh,
broken.
Good call. No, like your fingers.
Oh, the finger, the gesture.
Good call.
Okay.
No, I like did not look out.
Okay.
I did not look up the peace sign.
Okay.
Like you, like what you're saying. The
what
circle with the three lines.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of the fingers, the two fingers up, like, hey, peace, peace out, peaceful, you know, peace and love. Do you know how that, the two fingers up, how that started?
I was assumed it was derived from American Sign Language, but I don't know. I could be way off.
Oh, I don't know. What does that mean, peace in American Sign
Language?
I don't
know. It might. I don't know.
Oh.
I can't. I'm not speaking.
I have no idea.
I just speculated. I assumed, but I could be way off. I have no reference.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an assumption on my part. I can't back it up with anything.
No, that's fine. I just thought you knew a little bit of ASL.
No,
and I was
I learned the alphabet in ASL,
it.
And that's it.
I'm surprised you don't really know this because it seems like something you would have a vague memory or thought of.
Maybe as you tell it to me, it'll come back.
I didn't know this, and I'm surprised that I didn't know it. It was originally meaning a V for victory.
Okay.
And it became really popular in World War II with Winston Churchill throwing it up.
Oh, okay.
And it's a V in his head. Victory, victory.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so that's how it really started.
That's funny, because you just did the, you know, two fists up with the politician.
Oh, yeah.
I pictured Richard Nixon doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Shaking.
Yeah. When I did
it. Didn't
it,
mean
I
victory
saw...
for Nixon.
No.
Should have been two L's.
Yeah, so a Belgian veteran, Olympian, and politician turned radio broadcaster... So a Belgian guy that was big and everything. His name was Victor de, I don't know how to say his last name at all, so Victor.
Okay.
He is credited with initiating the V for victory sign for World War II. He wanted to come up with a united message that the Belgians could use in opposition to the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted it to be able to be the same in like French, Flemish, and English.
Okay.
And all of the words for victory in all of those languages start with a V.
Okay.
V for victory became a little more universal.
Yeah.
Americans started using the V for victory when they were brought into the war in December of 1941, following the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
But they were already using the V before, like, they won? Like, I'm just, the timeline, I'm like, we were already, everyone was already... displaying the
during World War II.
During it.
During it.
After. Okay.
During it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they wanted to encourage. They wanted to be like, we will win. This is going to be. Yeah. It was like a, not propaganda, but kind of, I guess, like a universal thing. We wanted something universal to get everyone together. So it was like, yes, it was happening during World War II.
Okay.
That's a good
Yes, you're right. Yeah. That makes sense that you would think victory post victory.
Yeah, like Churchill comes out after.
We were like, hey, we want to be victory. Kind of yeah.
Okay.
I don't know when Churchill did the sign, actually, now that you say it. I just know that he did do the V for victory signs, but this Belgian guy was the one who created the V for victory.
As it was going up.
As it was happening. Oh, yeah. And so I'm not sure when people threw them up specifically. Like, don't quote me that Churchill did it during the war. He could have waited till after the war or done it during. But the V for victory came about during the war. Okay. So how did the V sign go from a V sign to a peace sign? Why is it now peace and not V for victory?
I don't know.
I didn't know either, so I looked it up. And what I found was that the hippies took that over during the Vietnam War.
Okay.
They retrofitted it to mean peace instead of victory because they didn't want to go to war.
Yeah.
So they threw it up kind of as a fuck you to the administration.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, I know you guys are all about this V for victory and America, 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 yeah. but we're not into it. We don't want to fight. So we want peace.
Mm-hmm.
So then V turned into peace. Also, if you recall seeing any like older photos of hippies, especially in the 70s and the late 60s during the Vietnam War, they would wear a lot of army surplus clothing and fatigues and shirts and bandanas. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of them were early vets who were vets themselves who joined the hippie movement too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They've already been to Vietnam and came back.
They're like, we can't do this.
I saw this shit. I didn't.
Yeah. Don't go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the V was a part of that, that movement. The whole, like, we're making this peace. We don't want this anymore.
Yeah. And appropriating their parents' generation's, you know, dad's old army jacket from World War II, using that to protest war in 66, 67. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, again, kind of like a middle finger instead of a peace sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in 1968, during his run for presidency, Nixon used the double V sign.
That's what I,
He used it as a V sign.
Okay.
Meaning victory. Yes. He was fighting against the hippies.
Goddamn hippies don't have the right to take away our symbol.
Yes. It became a whole fucking thing.
That wasn't a bad Nixon.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
I've never done a Nixon voice before.
Yeah. He wanted to reclaim its true meaning from the bums, is what he would call them.
Goddamn bums.
Yeah. He said it was appropriated and it made a mockery of it. Yeah, he didn't like it.
So it was deliberate on his...
It was deliberate. I forgot that I wrote that down. Yes, it was deliberate on his end to use it for V for victory. But obviously it didn't work out.
The double V was like victory in Vietnam, kind of, probably in his mind.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, the double V.
Probably.
Yeah. Victory in Vietnam.
Yeah, I bet something stupid like that, but...
Didn't happen. Yeah.
No, it did not happen that way. But yeah, that's it. I ended on that one. These episodes, if this is your first bar of words, they're normally shorter. Oh, yes.
I have a bonus word that popped in my head because we were talking about how much the earlier words were stemming from jazz.
Yes.
And again, I mentioned I took a jazz history class in college, and jazz itself, that word, there's disputed origins of it. But the one I like that I was told is it was derived from jasmine because jazz music in New Orleans started being played predominantly in brothels, and there was always jasmine incense burning in the brothels.
Oh.
That's that jazz music.
Oh, I have seen jazz before. Yeah. J-A-S-S.
Yeah, it was originally two S's, and then over time got two Z's, and
I didn't even think to look up jazz.
Yeah.
It just is a forever word for me. I just, I'm not going to double check you in real time. So if he's wrong,
there are
comment
other theories.
And let us know.
I can't think of the ones, but like, that's the one I like. It stuck with me because I was like that origin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. So, the hippie stuff, I went down a little rabbit hole there because of the jazz. That was fun. Yeah, there's a lot more history to these words than I realized. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the peace sign was victory. I feel like I should have known that. At one point, I'm sure I learned it. And then I just forgot about it.
We're at the age where we're relearning things.
I know.
That we forgot. We learned. And like, oh, I already knew that at some point.
Yeah, somehow I knew that. Yeah. It's in there. And you kind of knock on your head a little. Oh. Yeah. Yep. Getting into your late 30s, early 40s is fantastic, guys. Keep it up. Anyway, thank you for the new listeners again. Thank you for listening. And I can tell that y'all are listening to the older episodes too, which is really neat. So I hope you like them. I don't listen to the old episodes after they're published because it's cringy. But I do like to keep all of the history of our bumps and bruises along the way because you can see like how we're getting more comfortable talking to technically no one, but yet somehow hundreds of you are listening to us monthly. So that's just really cool. Like, I don't know. Thank you. Like, thank you. So, yeah.
Thanks, Nate from Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Nate from Colorado. Yeah. He'll get it. If he listens to these. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
He seems to listen to the longer ones, which is cool. So, anyway, thank you, everyone. Follow us on Instagram at Borrowed Bones Podcast. You can also follow us on Divine at Borrowed Bones Podcast. There's not too much going on in Divine right now. Just a lot of videos of our cats and like our home life. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you look? Did you forget what Divine was?
No, no, I did not.
Oh. It's like Vine.
Yeah.
But now. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Peace out.
A-Town down.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.